بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب من الشرك النذر لغير الله باب من الشرك النذر لغير الله The author, he mentioned a chapter which is entitled From a Shirk, meaning from a Shirk al-Akbar, from a Shirk, yani from a major Shirk, and Nadhru, Nadhr, to take an oath and a vow to dedicate something to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. This chapter and those chapters that have preceded the past three or four chapters, this is all of these chapters, the author, he has mentioned them rahimahullah ta'ala to clarify that the one who seeks with his heart aid and assistance or protection from harm, and he intends in his heart to gain aid and support from other than Allah Azza wa Jal in a manner that is not legislated, that if he has directed this to something other than Allah, like believing and seeking blessing from a tree or from a grave, like that which has preceded, or believing that there is something from the creation, like a string or an amulet, that could protect him from evil and from harm. He believed this in his heart, he has this creed. This is all considered from shirk, seeking aid and support, seeking help, or seeking protection from these things. The author, he has clarified that these are all from the aspects of shirk. And the opposite of that, that which is contrary to that, is at tawheed. And that is for a person to rely entirely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and taking the means that he has legislated in order to protect himself from evil, and likewise in order to bring about good and obtain benefit in his life. So from those actions and from those deeds that invalidate the statement of at-tawheed is to make a vow and a nadhr to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the author, he is clarifying this, and also this is something that has occurred a lot in the Ummah, and those who have ascribed to the Deen of Al-Islam, and they testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and they testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and then after that they vow and they take an oath and they swear by other than Allah Azza wa Jal. An-nadhru li ghayri Allah. This is something that the ignorant people, they would do. And even before this time, the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the time of Jahiliyyah, they would take these vows and they would make a nadhr for their false gods and for the graves and for their idols and for those whom they had worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal. A nadhr is from the verb nadhara, yanzuru wa yanziru, also nadhran. نظر ينظر انظر بالذال نظرا أو نظر ينذر من باب نصر ومن باب ضرب أحسنت نظرا نعم The meaning of نظر يعني أوجب to make something obligatory. That's the original meaning, نظر يعني he made something obligatory. But in the legislation it is يعني إجاب العبد شيئا على نفسه ليس واجبا بأصل الشرع. The Ulama, they mentioned for a person to make something obligatory upon himself, which is not originally obligatory from the aspect of the legislation. To make something obligatory upon himself by taking an oath, a swearing. To make something obligatory upon himself, that's not obligatory upon him. For example, somebody would say he would take a nadhr to fast يوم الاثنين. Allah lillahi alayya nadhrun an asuma yawm al-khamis. He will say like this, I swear by Allah, or that I will make an oath or a vow and dedicate a fasting on the day of Khamis or day of Ithnain, for example, like this, then now fasting that day becomes obligatory. Fasting that day becomes obligatory. In the origin, it's not obligatory to fast Yom al-Ithnain or Yom al-Khamis. But if somebody took an oath, he made a nadr for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla that he would do this, then now it becomes obligatory. Now it becomes obligatory. So to make something obligatory upon oneself, which is not originally obligatory in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is called a nadr. And the ulama, they mentioned that the origin of this action is not legislated. It's not praiseworthy. And the origin is that a servant, he would do good without having to put an oath upon himself or force himself to do it. And many of the ulama, they mentioned that this is something that is, it's manhi, anhu. It's not permissible. It's prohibited. It's prohibited. Especially whenever one will make another with a condition. Sometimes a person, maybe he will say, if Allah cures his child, then he will fast this day or that day. Or if Allah helps him find a job, then he will give this much money in charity. Or if Allah does this for him, or if this happens, then he will do this act of worship. So this is something that is disliked. This is something that that is disliked in the beginning. But if it occurs, it's an obligation to fulfill it. If it occurs, it's an obligation to fulfill it. Naam. So it's disliked. Naam. It's disliked. If a person, he wants to fast Yom al-Ithnain, he'll fast Yom al-Ithnain. He doesn't have to make a vow and make it obligatory upon himself and put himself into hardship. Maybe he will not be able to fulfill the nether. Maybe he will fall short. Maybe it will become difficult for him. And in any case, Allah Azza wa Jal, yuridu bikum al-yusr wa la yuridu bikum al-usr. Allah, He wants ease for you. He does not want hardship for you. So what is obligatory upon us, this one we have to perform it regardless. As for that which is not obligatory, if a person he wishes to seek nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal by not obligatory actions, this is encouraged, and he should do that. And the affair is easy for him. If he wants to do it, he will do it. If he does not want to do it, he doesn't do it. He would strive to perform the actions of goodness, but there's no need to make an oath and to swear and to force it to make it obligatory upon himself, especially if he makes a condition. If I get this, then I will do this. The Prophet mentioned that this person, he's stingy. We mentioned the narrations, and this person really has a very bad opinion about Allah Azza wa Jal, thinking that he's forcing Allah to do something for him. If Allah cures my child, I will do this. And meaning that Allah is not going to cure the child, he thinks, except if he does something like this, or he's going to, and he put the ultimatum in a manner like this. This is something that is disliked greatly, and it's not permissible. So in any case, this is the nether. This is a nether, and this is something that if it is established, and for the sake of Allah, it must be fulfilled. And the one who fulfills that obligation now becomes praiseworthy, because he fulfilled an obligation. So in the first place, it's something that is disliked. Many of the ulama, they mentioned it's not even permissible, it's haram. Some of the ulama, they have mentioned that it's haram, and to make this type of nether, especially the one with ta'riq. But in any case, it's disliked, at very least. But if it happens, then it's an obligation to fulfill it. And no doubt, the one who fulfills obligations is praiseworthy. It's praiseworthy. He has done a good deed. He has done a good deed. If it's established that this nether is an act of worship and it's praiseworthy, then it's established that if it is directed to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, this is considered shirk. This is considered shirk. And this is the case here. It is considered shirk. If we remember the definition of al-ibadah, and before we study the chapter in detail, it's good now to remind ourselves of the definition of ibadah, particularly the definition, the concise definition of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. What was that definition? Allahu Akbar. Ismun jami'un. لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ. It's a concise term including everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from statement and action, inwardly and outwardly, or outwardly and inwardly. And he said actions that are apparent, or actions that are actions of the heart, or actions that are unapparent. All of this, everything that Allah loves and is pleased with from these actions and statements, Allah, this is ibadah. And ibadah is the right of Allah alone. It's the right of Allah alone. How can we know if Allah loves something or is pleased with it? From the text. So he said, I love salat. What do you mean from the text? From the sunnah. What do you mean from the text? Yeah, you have to be clear.
I mean,
like salat.
Right.
So we mentioned in the Quran there's a verse, I love salat?
La. Salat.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Allah commands salat.
Yeah.
So that's an indication if Allah commands something, that He loves it and He likes it, He's pleased with it. Now, if Allah commands something, this is an indication that this is something that Allah is pleased with. Allah, He only commands something that is obligatory or recommended. He commands that which is obligatory or recommended. So then something there is, if there's a commandment in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla or in the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is a clear indication that this action or statement is beloved to Allah and He's pleased with it. This is why He has commanded it and legislated it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, another way to know or to see, the ulama have mentioned, for example, if Allah has praised a person in his action or praised him for his statement, or a group of people, their attributes are being praised. Now, Allah mentions some people and then He will praise their actions. He'll praise them by mentioning their actions and their deeds in the context of praise and mentioning the good traits. This is also an indication that that action is beloved to Allah and is something that He's pleased with. So based upon that, we see that whatever, if there's a commandment or if there's a mention of praise of a particular deed or action, this is an indication that Allah loves that deed and is pleased with that deed. And then we know from there that if that deed is praiseworthy with, or beloved to Allah, then this is called ibadah. This is called ibadah. And ibadah is the right of Allah alone. And anyone who directs ibadah or a portion of ibadah to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, he has committed shirk iyadhan billah. Naam? Okay. So this is the case with the nether. This is the case with the nether. The nether is ibadah. Naam? The nether, it is ibadah. The author, he says, وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذَرِ يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذَرِ. In Surah Al-Insan, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned the attributes of Al-Abrar, the righteous. He mentioned the attributes of Al-Abrar. Naam? That they are the righteous people. And then He mentioned many traits from them. And from them He said, يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذَرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا. That from their traits is that they fulfill their oaths. They fulfill their oaths. Allah Azza wa Jalla is praising them. He mentioned many traits. From those traits, they fulfill their oaths. From their traits, they're sincere also. What was that verse? They're sincere. They help others and they're sincere in that. Oh, in the same chapter. In the same context. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. What do they say? لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. أي نفس السورة. نعم. يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا. نعم. Also from those attributes, I mean, that they feed the poor and they feed the people in need and the likes, and they say, we don't want any reward from you or any thanks. We only do this for the sake of Allah. That's from the traits of the righteous that Allah mentioned in that chapter. All in the same context. After this, Allah, He says, يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ, that they fulfill the nether. Naam? And they fear the day of resurrection, standing on the day of resurrection when the evil will be widespread. So the point of the author mentioning this verse is to clarify that these are from the traits of the righteous. And these are from the traits that Allah is pleased with, and He praised them for them. And they enter paradise by doing these deeds. That these deeds, Allah has legislated them, and there are means for them to enter paradise. These are means. وَجَزَاءُهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةٍ وَحَرِيرًا. جَنَّةٍ وَحَرِيرًا. So Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that they will enter paradise. These righteous people, from their attributes, what do they do? يُفُونَ بِالنَّذَرْ. That they fulfill. They fulfill the oath, they fulfill the promise or that they have made obligatory upon themselves. And then he says, وَقَوْلُهُ, also the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن نَفَقَةٍ أَوْ نَذَرْتُم مِّن نَذَرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions that whatever you spend in wealth and whatever you have made from oaths, then verily Allah, He knows that. Then verily Allah, He knows that. مَا وَمَا أَنْفَقُتُم مِّن نَفَقَةٍ النَّفَقَةَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ عِبَادَةٌ. Allah loves for those believers to spend in His path and His cause, to spend and to give their wealth seeking His reward, to give their wealth to build masajid, to give their wealth to help the da'wah, to give their wealth to study and to learn, to give their wealth to the poor and the needy, to give their wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah, He loves that. وَمَا أَنْفَقَتُم مِّن نَفَقَةٍ. Whatever you spend from wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or even here, the understanding, even if it was not in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, likewise, in general. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ. Allah, He knows it. نعم, also, أَوْ نَذَرْتُ مِن نَذْرٍ. Or whatever you have made from oaths, likewise. And meaning whether they were for the sake of Allah or for other than the sake of Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ. Verily Allah, He knows it. So the aspect here is that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has coupled the nafaqah with the nadr. Naam, the nafaqa is a spending. And what is intended is the one that spends. And meaning the one that spends in the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will have a reward for that. He will have a reward for that. This is something beloved to Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ. Allah, He knows that. Also, if somebody spent in the path to block his deen and to prohibit the spread of Islam, Allah, He knows that likewise. Whenever Allah, He says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ, what is intended by that? And he is al-mujazat, that Allah, and al-hisab, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He knows that, meaning there's a recompense. That verily Allah, He knows that. If you spend, or if you make an oath, then verily Allah, He knows that, meaning that there's going to be a recompense for that. The one who does it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla properly, he has a reward. And the one who does it contrary to that, then he has the threat of a punishment. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ. So there's two aspects here, that Allah, He coupled the nadr with the nafaqah, and it's clear that the nafaqah in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, spending, is ibadah. And Allah coupled that spending in the path of Allah with making an oath and fulfilling the oath. And then, so this is one aspect. He coupled these two actions together. So that means that they are both ibadah. That's the point the author, he wants to make. And then likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla, another aspect to clarify that they're ibadah is that there's a reward for them or recompense. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ. This one and that one. And the nafaqah and the nadr. The nafaqah and the nadr. So these are both acts of worship. Also, there's another verse in the book of Allah, Surah Al-Hajj. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He commanded, He said, وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ. وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ. And they must fulfill their oaths. They must fulfill their oaths. وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ. And let them fulfill their oaths. It's a command. So this is very clear that these are acts of worship. This is Allah has commanded it. The one who makes the command, the oath, any meaning that if it's for an act of obedience, then it must be fulfilled. Then it must be fulfilled. So we see that in the time of Jahiliyyah, and even now, even in the time of the author, rahimahullah, and then all the way until this day, then there are people who make nuzur for other than Allah. There are people who they make nuzur for other than Allah. And particularly, they do the one with ta'liq, and this is the one whenever one of them will say, and they will go, for example, they will say, if my child becomes well, then he will slaughter an animal, a sheep, for example, for Bedouin. They say it like that. If his child is cured, he will slaughter an animal for Bedouin, or he has an oath to give this amount of money in charity for Bedouin, or to put flowers on the grave of Bedouin, or to buy candles and light the graves of the Wadi so-and-so, like this Abdul Qadir, or whoever it may be. They do this like this. And if they believe that this is any, and they do that magnifying him, but even that person in the grave will be able to help them obtain their need. His child is sick, or for example, some of them, even if their crops will not grow, if there's no rain and the crops will not grow, they'll say, if the rain comes and the season is good, then he has another for the grave of so-and-so. And upon him is to give another for the grave of so-and-so. And he will swear and take an oath by so-and-so that if this such and such happens, he obtains it, then he will do this for him. for his grave, or for that individual in the grave, or for that sheikh, so on and so forth. So all of this, this is major shirk. This is major shirk, and this is something that the people, even some who ascribe to Islam, they fall into this. They fall into this, and they will say, if a child, if a woman can't have a baby, for example, the some of the misguided women, they'll tell her, go to this particular grave. You make an oath. He accepts oaths. This grave accepts oaths. Yakbar al-Nudhur. And they'll say, this grave over here, this grave fulan, so-and-so, or the wali so-and-so, Mujarrab. Said, we've tried this one. This one works. This one works. If you go there, they'll say, we tried this one. This one is tried and tested. You just go there and you make your oath. You make your oath for it, like this, or they will slaughter for it, as we have seen in the previous chapters, likewise. And they believe this. And they believe this. Now, sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla may try them in their misguidance by causing their action to coincide with the decree, that their action would actually, they would get what it would occur, what they had made an oath for, and as a test and a trial for them. Now, but the case is that this is major shirk. This is the point, that this is major, that this is major shirk, and this is something that they do. And the one who makes a nadr, it should only be for the sake of Allah. In the first place, one should not make a nadr. He should not make a nadr. Not even the one that is mutlaq. They have one where one who will say, for example, upon him is to give $100 in charity. Upon him, it's upon him for the sake of Allah to pray the night prayer every night. This is disliked. This is disliked. Now, it's disliked. Why?
Because
you
make it
obligatory. But is it shirk?
Is it shirk? No.
No, this is not shirk. This aspect is not shirk. This is what Allah is referring to. وَيُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ. Now, this is one that's praiseworthy. This is one that is commanded. The one who has made an oath, made a nadr, a vow to do an action of obedience. To do an action of obedience, like pray or fast or give charity. Naam, an action of obedience. The one who makes a nadr to do an action of obedience, it's obligatory for him to fulfill it. It's obligatory for him to fulfill it. Naam, this is disliked. The other way, that's another mutlaq. The other way is to make an oath to do an action of obedience, but then he will make a condition that he will do it if Allah does this for him. If Allah does this for him, then he'll do this act of worship. Then he will do this act of worship. If Allah cures him, cures his child, helps him find a new job, sends rain for the crops, protects him, whatever he wants, he will make the condition. Oh Allah, if you do this, I'll do this. Now, and this is also disliked, and this is bad manners, and there's a false creed there, and bad su'adhan billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that he can press Allah to do something, or that this oath will, or this action will not come except if he makes an oath, and the likes like this. All of this is not praiseworthy. All of this is not praiseworthy. Many of the ulama, they mention it's not permissible in the origin. But if he made that oath to do that action that's obligatory, it's obligatory to fulfill it. If he made the oath that if such and such happens, he will fast this day, or he will perform such and such act of worship, it's obligatory for him to fulfill it if that occurred. If it occurred, for example, if he said that he will fast every Monday and Thursday for the rest of his life, if Allah cures his child. If Allah cured his child, now it's obligatory for him to fast every Monday and Thursday for the rest of his life. Obligatory. If he failed in that, he would be breaking the oath, and he would be leaving the obligation. He would be sinning. He would be sinning. Naam. So this is something that is disliked for him to do. If somebody, the other aspect of making a nadr is that somebody, he will make a nadr not for an obligation, not for an act of worship, just for something that is mubah. Something that is mubah. He will say he had taken oath to eat in this restaurant, or to not eat this type of food, or something like this, and it's something that's permissible. And to do an affair that's permissible. For he said that he will take an oath that he won't talk to so-and-so, or so on, or like this. This one, this one has takhir. He can, if he likes, he can, if he likes, he can fulfill the oath. And if he likes, he can expiate the oath. And the expiation for this type of oath is the same expiation of kifarat al-yameen. Kafaratu al-yamin. Al-yamin is whenever somebody swears. He swears, wallahi, this and this. And then if he breaks the oath, and he breaks the swear, then he has to make expiation for that. So the similar issue here, and the one that's mubah, then if he wants to expiate it, he can. And the expiation is the expiation of the swear. What is the expiation of the swear? Kafaratu al-yamin, huh? لا لا قريب يعني. What's the verse? سورة مائدة صح؟ لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان. Allah doesn't hold you to account for that which you have made a lagw in your iman. You didn't intend by that worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. Or you didn't intend to swear. Some people, they say, wallahi, 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 you're not going to do this. Wallahi, I'm not going to do that. Wallahi, I was over here. Wallahi, yesterday or tomorrow I'm going here. But he doesn't go. But he doesn't mean to swear. He doesn't mean that he's swearing to emphasize he's going to do it. He's just talking. He's just talking. Lagw. Yeah, this one doesn't have the ruling, but the one he swears and his heart is intending to swear to emphasize the issue that he's speaking of. Now this one he has to fulfill the swear. Now, ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان فكفارته إطعام عشرة مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوتهم أو تحرير رقبة أو فإن لم تجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام. نعم. So this kafaratul yamin, it has two types. First, it has at-takhir wa tartib. At-takhir wa tartib. So first, there's a choice, and there's a choice on what you want to and how to make the kafara, and also there's order. So there's a choice, and then there's an order. So first, the one who wants to expiate an oath, he can either feed 10 poor people, the likes of that which is from the moderate food that he feeds his family. And the ulama, they mention this is sa', and he had 1.5 kilo.
No.
1.5 kilo? Huh? 2.5 kilo is sa'? I forget right now. Subhanallah. Which one is it? 2.5. One saw from the what you feed the kut al-barid, like rice or macarona, like this, this type of food that you feed 10 poor people like this, or you clothe them with the type of clothing that would suffice them to pray in, and give them the clothing that would cover their awra so they can pray, like this type of, or كسوتهم أو تحرير الرقبة, or to free a slave. So you can do one of these three as you like. Or. So there's a choice here. You can do one of these three. If you can't do one of these three, now there's fasting 3 days. Some people, they make a mistake. They say, we'll just fast 3 days. لا, you can't fast 3 days. That comes last. So this part, there's tartib. So the first part, there's takhir between the first three, between feeding 10 people or clothing 10 people or freeing a slave. Then if that's not possible, at that time he will be able to fast. If he fasted 3 days and he didn't, and he was possible, he had the money to clothe them, or he had the money to feed them, and he didn't feed them, nor did he clothe them, then his fasting will not be accepted, because there's tartib, there's arrangement here in this manner. So the one who made the oath like this, and he made an oath for something mubah, it's permissible for him to break it or to make the kafara, or to fulfill the oath. As for the one who made an oath to do something that is haram, for example, he would say he swear by Allah, or that he take another to drink alcohol, or to make zina with so and so, or the likes like this, yadin bila, this one is not permissible. This one is not permissible. This is haram. This is haram, and it's also not permissible to fulfill it. But many of the ulama, they mentioned it's an obligation to make kafara. They differed about this issue. Sheikh Ibn Baz, he mentioned it's better. And Sheikh Uthaym mentioned he must, rahimahumallah, to make a kafara if he took an oath to drink alcohol, or if he took an oath to punch so-and-so, or to harm so-and-so, or to steal, to do any act of disobedience, then it's not permissible to fulfill that. It's haram, and it's haram to make that oath in the first place. But if he made it, and then now he has to make kafara. Now he has to make kafara. طيب, if he took an oath by other than Allah Azza wa Jal, what does he do? He can't fulfill it, of course. طيب, what about kafara? That's right. He has to enter into Islam again. He left Islam. The one who took an oath. It's like the one who prostrated before someone. This is ibadah. Shajud is ibadah. Salat is ibadah. Just like that, charity is ibadah. Nafaqah is ibadah. Nafaqah is ibadah. Somebody, he gave $100 for the wali. He gave $100 for the grave. He's going to give charity for you. But in his heart, he's doing it for Badawi. For example, for Badawi. He's given a charity for Badawi. What's the ruling for that man's charity? Shirk. This is active. He left Islam. This is shirk. He's giving charity. Charity is ibadah. He's giving it to a person, a poor person. He's feeding the poor with his money. But he wants the reward and the protection, or he wants to have something from Badawi. Huh? What is that? Shirk. Just like that, nadhr also. وَمَنْ أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن نَفَقَةٍ أَوْ نَذَرْتُم مِّن نَذْرٍ. Allah coupled these two actions together. Just as he coupled with regards to dhibh. Coupled. Akbar. Yeah, that's the point. The brother, he said he has to say La ilaha illallah again. Yani the one who took an oath by other than Allah. Then he left Islam. So there's no kafara for this. You can't. This is beyond fasting. 3 days to make that up, or feeding some people. The only way to make that up is to repent and to seek sincere repentance, and to leave off that action, and to enter into Islam entirely, and to enter into Islam entirely. The author, he mentioned another the last narration. He said, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ أَنْ عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ مَنْ نَذَرَ أَنْ يُطِيعَ اللَّهَ فَلْيُطِعْهُ وَمَنْ نَذَرَ أَنْ يَعْصِيَ اللَّهَ فَلَا يَعْصِيهِ. The author, he mentioned وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ, meaning it's in Sahih Bukhari, from the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever makes a nadhr to obey Allah, then he must obey him. This is the proof for the issue that has preceded. And whoever has made a nadhr to disobey Allah, then he must not disobey him. He must not disobey him. He must not disobey him. So there are other narrations likewise, from the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, Ibn Umar, he said radiallahu anhuma, Naha Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-nadhr. Naha al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-nadhr. The Prophet, he prohibited the nadhr. So these are all evidences likewise to clarify it's not permissible, or at very minimum it's disliked, that the Prophet, he prohibited the nadhr. And he said, Innahu la yaruddu shay'an. إِنَّهُ لَا يَرُدُّ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّهُ يُسْتَخْرَجُ بِهِ مِنَ الْبَخِيلِ. He said the nadhr, it does not prohibit anything. It doesn't stop the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's only used to bring out some good deeds from a person who's stingy. And he's somebody who's bakhil, he's stingy, he's greedy. He doesn't want to give charity. He doesn't want to stand in the night prayer. But he feels like he's forced to do it. If you do this, I'll do this. This person, for example, if you help me, I'll help you. If you don't help me, I don't help you. Yeah. Meaning he doesn't want to help you in the first place. But if you help him, khalas, I'll help you. I mean, like this, huh? Allah, if you give me this, I'll pray for you. That's what it means, huh? Yeah. If you do this for me, Allah, I'll give charity for you. But if you don't do this for me, I'm not gonna give charity, huh? A'udhu billah. You see the understanding of that. إِنَّمَا يَسْتَخْرَجُ بِهِ مِنَ الْبَخِيلِ. This doesn't bring, in the first place, it doesn't change the decree. In the first place, it doesn't change the decree. Now, this is the first thing, the decreed. This action is not going to change the decree. Well, if it was decreed that he was going to have something, he's going to have it. Or if he's not going to have something, he's not going to have it. So to make an oath, and if you do this, I'll do this, this is not going to benefit him whatsoever. It's only used to, for this person, he believes that, and this person who's stingy and greedy with his deeds, that it will cause him to act. Now, there's another narration in Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this one is in Sahih Muslim. Now we see, La tanzuru. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, La tanzuru. Do not make nadhr. La tanzuru. Naam, fa'inna al-nadhra la yugni min al-qadri shay'ah. Because the nadhr, it does not benefit with the decree of Allah whatsoever. It does not benefit from the decree of Allah whatsoever. Wa innama yustakhraju bihi min al-bakhil. So a person, if he wants to do some good deeds, alhamdulillah, let him do them. Let him worship Allah Azza wa Jal. But if he doesn't do them, he's fine. The deen is easy. Allah wants easy for you. It's an obligation. What is incumbent is to fulfill what is obligatory. After that, if a person wants to do some non-obligatory actions, alhamdulillah. We save the questions for the end, inshallah. Naam? We'll save the questions. Barakallahu fikum. So if he wants to do some good, then he let him do it. He shouldn't make it obligatory upon him, because Allah did not make it obligatory upon him. So this is the issue. Naam. So it is disliked. It is disliked. So in this narration, we see whoever made an oath, what should he do? فَلْيُطِعْهُ. Let him obey it. Let him. Whoever made an obligation or whoever made an oath to obey Allah, then he should obey Allah. So now we see that making the oath is no, but for here, it's ta'a. Whoever makes the oath to obey Allah, فَلْيُطِعْهُ. Then he must obey him. So now this is also the point from the author. Yani there's aspects here that it is aspect of the ahkam al-fiqhiyya, and there's also the proof that he has. Why did he mention this hadith in this chat, in this book? And to clarify that this is an act of worship, it's an act of obedience. Now to establish this reality, that it's an act of obedience. And then after that, the ahkam, they come along. But this, if it's an act of obedience, then it must be for the sake of Allah alone. Naam, then it's for, and to fulfill it and to do it for Allah alone is tawheed. It's tawheed, and it's the meaning of shahada la ilaha illallah. Naam, but to direct it to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, this is contrary to that statement, la ilaha illallah. So this is from those chapters that clarify the meaning and detail of la ilaha illallah and the meaning of tawheed. That's why he mentioned it here, to clarify that man nadhara an yuti' Allah falyuti'hu. Whoever made a nadhar to obey Allah, he must obey him. Yani, so that means if you must obey him to do an act of obedience, this is ibadah. So ibadah is the right of Allah. So then nadhar is ibadah. So this ayat and also this hadith clarify that nadhar is ibadah. That's the point here. That's the point here that he wants to make. So the nadhar, if a person, he swears to do an act of obedience, then this is like a debt that he owes. He has to fulfill it. It's like a debt that he owes. He has to fulfill it. There's a hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma in Sahih Bukhari. The woman, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that her mother made a nadhar to make hajj, and then she died. Should she fulfill her oath for her? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Iqdullah, fa'inna daynallahi ahaqqu an yuqda. Ahaqqu an yuqda. Verily, the debt of Allah is more rightful that it should be fulfilled. And then fulfilled. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if your mother had a debt, would you pay the debt for her? She said, yes. He said, then fulfill her oath. Because the right of Allah is more rightful, the haqq of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the debt of Allah Azza wa Jalla is more rightful to be fulfilled. So this nether is like a debt that's that's an obligatory for a person to fulfill it. It's an obligation for the person to fulfill it. If it's something that it was obligatory, that was an act of worship, a ta'ah, then it must be fulfilled. He can't make an explanation for it. There's no explanation for that except to perform it. Except to perform it. Naam. Then also there's another narration in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, kafaratu nadhr, kafaratu al-yameen. Kafaratu nadhr, kafaratu al-yameen. So these are the evidences that clarify the right of the nadhr, that is for the sake of Allah. The one who breaks it for something that was mubah, or something, if he made an oath to do something that's haram, then he must make the kafarat yameen. Kafaratu nadhr, kafaratu yameen. Naam, the author, he mentioned, fihi masail. In this chapter, there are some masail. He says, al-ula, wujubu al-wafa'i bin-nadhr. Wujubu al-wafa'i bin-nadhr. Yani nadhr, wujub, the obligation to fulfill the nadhr, obligation. Which nadhr is he talking about?
Ibadah.
Ta'ah. Ibadah. Nadhr, ta'ah. Naam, because the nadhr ma'asiyah, it's not permissible. And the nadhr mubah, mukhayyir. Also, nadhr mutlaq is mukhayyir also. If he made nadhr, unless it's, mutlaq, nadhr lam yusam. There's one he said, wallahi, he has to make a nadhr. But he doesn't say what it is. He doesn't say this or that or that or this one likewise. There's a kafara. So, wujub al-wafa' bin nadr, he's referring to nadr ta'ah, the nadr of obedience. It's obligatory to fulfill it. Athaniya, إِذَا ثَبَتَ كَوْنُهُ عِبَادَةً لِلَّهِ فَصَارْفُهُ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ شِرْكٌ. This right here is a very great benefit. Very great benefit. If it's established that an action is an act of worship, then to direct it to other than Allah is shirk. Then to direct it to other than Allah is shirk. That's why it's so beneficial to study the likes of this book, or the likes of Usul al-Thalatha, and other than those books that clarify the specific acts of worship with detail. This is an act of worship because Allah said this. This is an act of worship because the Prophet ﷺ said this. This is an act of worship because Allah commanded this. Some people, they think that acts of worship is only salat and zakat and hajj. There are many other acts of worship like nadr and dhabih. This is tabarruk. These are all also acts of worship. These are also acts of worship. And they must be for the sake of Allah. Whoever directed them to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, then this is shirk. This is shirk. Al-thalitha. That the nadr, the one who made the oath to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, it's not permissible for him to fulfill that. And the ulama, they differed about whether there's a kafara. And many of the ulama, they mentioned that it's best to make a kafara. Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he mentioned it's ahwat, and it's safer in his right. And Shaykh Uthaymeen, actually, he mentioned it's an obligation. We close with that. And the brother, you had a question.
Yes, some people make an oath by their mother,
mm-hmm.
or the grave of their mother.
Mm-hmm. All of this. Yes. Yeah, this is the nether for other than the sake of Allah. Yes. Shirk, nam. Nam, this is shirk.
How do you do it?
Huh?
I don't understand the question. I don't understand
the so. So some people, especially I know that the Shia do that, they make another oath by the mother or the grave of the mother or something about the mother. So they, rather than making an oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You mean halif?
There's a difference between nether and halif. There's halif is to swear. To swear. To swear, for example, some people, they swear to a believer, he can only swear by Allah, wallahi.
Right.
But some people, they'll say, wa nabi.
They swear by nabi. Oh, wa nabi.
They swear by the Prophet. Or they swear by his father. They swear by his mother. In America, they do that. What do they say? He put that on his mama. That's what he says. That's what they used to say when I was young. He said he put that on his mama, like that. Wallahi, but he's serious if he said that. Then it trains after that, he put that on himself. Then after something, they started saying he put that on himself. Then he put that on his life. And then after the gangbangers came, he put that on his set. And then he put it on this. But they swear that's halif. That's halif. This is shirk asgar. This is shirk asgar. Here, the nether is to say that he's going to he vows for the grave of so-and-so to do this act, to slaughter, or to give charity, or to do this, or to do this action, act of worship. He vows for this grave an act of worship. He vows for this wadi an act of worship. As for somebody he swore by his mother, it's minor shirk. It could be major shirk. If he is, because the one who swears by something is in order to magnify that thing, to show his truthfulness. So he's using this, he's swearing by something, it's great in his heart. Wallahi, meaning there's nothing greater in the heart of a believer than Allah. So then he swears by Allah. Yeah. To clarify, he's telling the truth. To clarify, he's telling the truth. If somebody, he like we've seen in the Kitab al-Tawheed, if you make him swear by Allah, he swear by Allah. If you make him swear by the wali, his friend get mad at him.
Yeah.
What do you mean you swear by the wali? Knows that you can, that you're lying. Exactly. Like this. How can you swear? Or some of them, even he would swear by Allah, but he won't swear by the wali. He swear by Allah lying all day. Wallahi, I did this. Wallahi, I paid that. Wallahi, wallahi. And then he swear by the wali. Someone says, "Oh, billah, la." He won't swear. He's afraid of the wali. And that this time, this, and if he swears by the wali like that, with this type of creed in his heart, that's major shirk. Because ma qama min at-ta'zeem fi qalbi, and he's praising and magnifying Allah. I mean, the one he's swearing by. And Allah knows best. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.